second on the minutes is the review and approval of the April minutes. Do we have any suggested revisions?
I have a question to approve the minutes.
I second it.
Okay, and the motion is to approve the minutes as written. Do we have approval? What's the vote?
Mike did the motion.
Yep, we did a second, but now we need the vote.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. All right, and then next on the agenda is acknowledgements.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm trying to do
this is the first month. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming. This is the first month that the board has adopted the recognition of our students. As our school has grown, so has the recognitions and awards that our students have been accumulating. And tonight's, we have two very special announcements. The first one, if you'll give me your attention, this is just unbelievable that we have a young man that's accomplished this. And we mentioned this to the board last month, but we didn't have an opportunity to bring the young gentleman in, our eighth grade student. And I just want you to know that he is, before I call him up, I want you to hear this list of awards. He went to the Business Professionals of America National Convention in Orlando, Florida, the week of May 10th. And he competed in a variety with Ms. Stoom, from Ms. Stoom's class. And he went with his parents and he competed and in a variety of competitive events, they're called, in vocational organizations in the country. He received three top 10 finishes. He was a top 10 finisher nationally in financial concepts literacy, a top 10 finisher in business math concepts, a top 10 finisher in business communication skills, and he was a second place in the nation in eighth grade, second place finisher in business fundamentals. And it's my sincere pleasure to invite Sevier Gunta to come up to the front. And Sevier has his medals with
Yay.
Him.
Yay! Where's the medals?
Come on up, or you can show them to your board if you would like to just show them.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Awesome.
And could I have a representative or two from the board to stand with me and Sevier for a photo op, please? Come on around this way, young man.
I would not attempt.
And we're going to shake hands, and we're going to have a couple of the board members that would like to stand for public recognition.
Why don't we squeeze
on
a little bit like you actually know each other?
Smile.
Very
good. Again, give another round of applause. Outstanding young man, and we're very proud of Sevier and his family. I've asked board member Tammy Salto, our teacher representative, to help me with this presentation. Tammy probably wouldn't tell you this, but Tammy initiated for the first time at Odyssey Charter School, the Teacher of the Year program. And Tammy has strong familiarity with Teacher of the Year because she was a Teacher of the Year at AI DuPont High School before she came.
And Red Clay.
Oh, thank you. And the Red Clay representative, thank you, Denise, and before she came to Odyssey, which was indicative of the skills and why we went after Tammy to bring her to our school. Tammy, why don't you share with the board briefly where we're at and with our community?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that we opened up the nominations, and by far the most nominations we got, and don't mind my voice, was for first grade teacher, Kelly Kudusky. I'm going to say a little bit about her really quick, but what this does, because she's Odyssey Teacher of the Year, is that we nominated her. We wrote up a nomination form for the Charter School Network. So there are a couple of teachers in the running. We'll find out in a couple of days if she, in fact, has won. And if she does, then she will go through this arduous task, but it's well worth it. It'll help you along the way of becoming, hopefully, the Delaware State Teacher of the Year for 2018. So let me tell you just a few minutes about Kelly. Some of the recommendations that Kelly received noted that Kelly began her teaching career here at Odyssey as a student teacher, and that Odyssey immediately recognized her talent as a teacher, and she was hired to replace a teacher who left midway through the school year. Kelly not only filled in perfectly, but she allowed students to have a seamless transition. She's not only a consummate professional, a valued colleague, she's our go-to leader and a member, I'm on my glasses, of the Odyssey community, for she is the first person at school and the last to leave. Kelly's involvement at Odyssey is unmatched. She's the first grade teacher, the coach of the first ever high school softball team, and leads the school functions committee. She has planned many events. She serves as a teacher liaison between the staff and the PTO. She's planned and executed a ton of events. The Guys in Ties, Girls in Pearls dance, and if you went, it was awesome, you know. The goodies with grandparents, the muffins with moms, the donuts with dads. She chairs our Sunshine Fund, in-service days, food list, which we are all immensely thankful for. And if you look at her, Kelly's got a Facebook page. I encourage you to look at it. She works with students with flexible seating, iPads, other educational resources. She knows how to differentiate learning, and she's a wonderful teacher. So, Kelly, I would like to present you with this simple little
Teacher of the Year
thing.
That's a problem.
Yeah, just put it like that.
Like that.
Okay. See, right around it. And thank you so much for serving Rhonda.
Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda is the monthly financial review.
We are reviewing the cumulative report through April 30th, which is 10 months of the year, or 83% of the year. And at this point in the year, we're really just in the status quo. There's not a lot happening or anything different than what we've discussed, but a few points to make. On revenue, at this point in the year, we're really just collecting the different miscellaneous revenues that come in every month for aftercare, cafeteria, rent on the two properties that are leased, and student body activities. So that's really the only funds that came in this month, and they all totaled $221,000. So we're at 98.4% of our revenue for the year, and it'll be pretty similar over the next last 2 months of the year to bring us to 100%. And then on the expenditure side, salaries continue to trend as expected. If you're looking at the numbers across, March had been a prepay month, so that's why the month we looked at the last board meeting was higher, but we're back in a two-pay month for the rest of the year. And then I don't know if anybody, take a minute or two if you see any line items that you have any questions on, but basically it's exactly what we've been reporting for the last couple of months, some pluses and minuses in line items, but overall each month our cash position projected for the end of the year continues to improve. We're up over $1.7 million before you look at some of the reserve accounts that we also talked about, and I'll mention again in a minute. That's up about $1.6 million, $650 in that range, our last report. So as each month goes by, we can start to recognize some of the savings that we've been expecting in some line items that we really didn't want to show. We continue to be a little conservative in our projected expenses. Conservative meaning I probably have on a few different line items, I probably have more than we're actually going to spend. We're going to recognize savings in, for example, building and ground repair. And I haven't dropped it all the way down to where I think we're going to be. So by year end, we should improve this $1.7 million even further. And then out of that $1.7 million, the two things that we talked about last month, the capital campaign funds are up to $92,000, so they can't be used for regular operations. They'll be used towards expenses that we're going to incur over the summer. And then the Building 27 insurance reserve that we had a discussion about last month from the damage that was done on that property that at this point in time we need to spend by August. And everything ties to FSF. It's off about $600, but sometimes reports in FSF don't agree with each other. And then the web report, the smaller report on the top, that's posted on the website every month. Same picture, 98% of revenues, about 80% of expenses. And you will notice on line 12 under expenses, other expenses in total has gone over budget, but we have savings in other line items throughout the budget that will more than offset that overrun. And it wasn't any one item, it was a lot of small items that when added up did go over some. If anybody has any questions or comments? We are pretty far into working on the budget. So at next month, meeting, we will have a draft of the budget, just to introduce it for the first time, with the expectation that by the July board meeting, we'll be ready for the board to take a vote on the preliminary budget.
Do we, look for a motion to approve the web report?
Correct.
Okay.
I'll move to approve the web report for April.
I'll second.
And, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And then the second. All right, school operations update.
Thank you. Okay, good evening, everybody. Our meeting ran a couple minutes over, and so I apologize, I didn't get to hand those out in front, beforehand. You should have two documents. One is the just an outline of what I would like to share with you as the headmaster, and Denise has a few items on the bottom, and also a copy of this month's headmaster's update. I've tried very hard to get a monthly update each month as part of our school improvement goal this year to engage and improve communications with the community, and it's just one of the many, along with the weekly communication that Denise sends out. This is just the latest update. It's in my kind of end of the year. It's a very small print, I understand that, I'm sorry. If you go on the website, it's much easier to read. It is posted and it's there. It doesn't have dates, it would be redundant, but it just talks about some of the major initiatives, and I wanted to share a couple of those with you. Right now, we have been working with Karen very closely and Chrissy to develop our budget for next year. Staffing and personnel is the vast majority of the expenditures, if you look on the budget report that you just reviewed. And we have well over 100 employees now. We're looking to, in the 120 range, if I am close to being accurate on that, we're looking to add approximately 30-ish employees, and that includes the five notifications that we've received from staff members that are planning to go in different directions at the end of this year. So we started off the whole recruitment season by going to Project Search at the end of April, and since the last 2 weeks, we've been spending half days on, half days off with interviews. So we're interviewing 30-minute slots, and we're bringing people in. We've set up a subcommittee of elementary, middle, and high school groups to help assist us with some of the, looking at the people that are coming in and trying to make sure that we're getting the best match and the people that we want. It's a little sad to say that some of the large districts are laying off, and people are really hustling for jobs. So there's always, and I don't say this in front of the faculty too often because they get upset with me, but the demand for the jobs, we probably have close to 150, 200 applications without batting an eye. So we do a paper screen, and then we do a in-person search and try to narrow it down for each position. I wanted to announce the reason we have 30, obviously, is that we've added a section K-4, and we're building to 2 4-member teams, K-8 next year. And in some of the middle grades, we're also adding staff, and we're building out a complete new 10th grade. And in addition, we're adding a variety of what specials that we call them, electives for lack of a better word, and also others, including a guidance counselor and a nurse. So there's a long list, and it's been posted of what we're looking for, and it's on our website, I believe. I want to congratulate our new PTO president, who is here tonight, Kelly Wallaston. Kim, excuse me. Kelly Wallaston is a very old dear friend of mine. Kim Wolanski, excuse me. And congratulations, Kim. And Kim stepped up in at a time when we appreciate her willingness to serve the school, and we're looking forward to working with Kim. There's also the other officers that are here listed. Kim, I didn't notice any others, but I just wanted to check with you. Okay, and we have Ryan Connell, Vice President, Kim Frederico. You can read them yourself. And we have an open position with a corresponding secretary. So tomorrow, we have been sharing with you some of the challenges that we've been facing with transportation the entire year. And one of the things that we did, because we are not going to be able to become a tier, the company cannot provide tier one service to us, which would allow us to modify our start times. They don't have the capacity. We cannot locate another vendor to take on the work. And so what you're going to hear more about our transportation recommendations from our consultant later on. But where I'm going with that conversation is that we brought in a consultant this year. Ms. Hinesley actually brought, our guidance counselor brought in Elliot Muirbloom, who is a nationally recognized scheduling guru. And he is helping us to maximize our need for staff and also to help us maximize our ability to start and stop the school at certain times for next year. So he's coming in tomorrow to complete the work that we started last month. We'll be working with him. The facilities planning for next year continues. Denise, myself, Dimitri, the architect, and Tim Skibicki, John Stewart, have had numerous meetings along with our business folks, have been involved in this, and other administrative members on allocating our space. And I've mentioned very briefly before that next year this building will be K-2. Building 22, the upper school, will be grades 3-6, and building 21 will be grades 7-10. So with eventually the high school will be moving into building 23, which is what the capital fund campaign is raising money to complete renovations at the high school and then begin to prepare the gym and the other facilities that we've identified that we needed. So my last comment for tonight has to do with June 13th, which is our eighth grade graduation. It will be out on the athletic fields. It's a beautiful ceremony, and if you have eighth graders, please make every effort to be there and come out and enjoy these events. It's the culmination of our year. And I'm going to share the stage with my compadre, Denise Parks, and she has a couple items she wants to share with you as well. Thank you. Any questions before I... Thank you.
I just have one question about the 13th. I got an email the other day that the other award ceremony that you did last year is going to be that day as well.
Typically, the graduation we had in the morning, and then for grades 4-7, mm-hmm. the other That's awards we had later on. We mm-hmm. got bang for our chair rental buck.
Yeah. So it's going to be the same way this year?
Yes.
Are you going to get that information out to the parents?
Yes. It's in the works. I don't know if
you've yeah, heard of I know that we're just finalizing. Speaking of chairs, the chair rental today. So we just wanted to make sure that it was all good. So I think it will be going out forthcoming in the Friday message, the weekend
it's
message.
Just here, so you can schedule off
and plan and all that stuff, yeah.
I believe that the teachers are in the process of identifying what students will be receiving the special awards. Good evening, everyone. A couple programming notes. Kindergarten, our new kindergarten class, we are having a special welcome event on Thursday, June 1st. I'm excited about this because we have the strategic plan committees, and this is an effort that was born out of the school culture committee, where there was input from the people involved with the committee that our new parents, to give them an opportunity to come in, see what we do, and make them feel welcome before August, so before the summer. Working with our wonderful kindergarten team, parents are coming with their children, and they'll have a chance to come in for the kindergarten classrooms, meet the teachers, then we'll come up here, and especially for those families who may not have made it to the open houses, like they knew Odyssey, they wanted to get in, and lo and behold, they did. If they weren't here for open houses, they can come here. We'll run them through the presentation so they can really understand what we're doing here in kindergarten, and also talk to them about the immersion program as well. So they wouldn't just have to sign up for something that they may not know about. So that's June 1st. A bit of good news that I got today. This year we were involved with a pilot program through the Department of Education for teacher leaders. This is a program for teachers, maybe like Kelly at some point, who want to expand what they're doing within the school, but also don't want to leave the classroom. There's a large group of teachers, I'm sure Tammy can attest to, they love being in the classroom, but they're also looking for opportunities to move up in their career. In education, you're either kind of pegged as a teacher or pegged as an administrator. There's little opportunities to do both, but that's exactly what this program is designed to do. And this year we had a teacher who was a part-time reading specialist, and she was part-time instructional coach for our school, which is great when we have so many new teachers coming into our school. With the budget as it is, there is a number of programs that are on the chopping block, and the teacher leader program, there's monies that have been provided by the state to help get this off the ground, and we all fully expected for this program to be cut. I'm happy to say that as of this morning, there was the final wrap-up meeting, and they're looking to maintain funding for this program for next year. So they're not going to expand it. It's only for the schools who are in, so it's good that we got in early, but we're looking forward to continuing this program because it's been a real asset for our school. And also, I think that it will provide a great opportunity for our teachers as well, who are looking for experiences to grow their careers. Math articulation. Last time I spoke with everyone here, there were some questions with the math articulation document, which is the progression of courses through middle and high school. I've worked with our math department, made some tweaks. I'm going to be sharing that electronically. I thought it'd be better sending it electronically. There were some questions as far as flexibility of movement within the different tracks, which was actually built in. It's really my fault with not including some arrows and changing it, tweaking a little bit, but I believe it captures and reflects what some of the conversation had. So that will be forthcoming via email and also included in the course catalog that Lauren will talk about in a minute. Last but not least, Dimitri Dandelos, our board president, has been pulling in a variety of resources for our Greek program, one of which he has a contact at PISA, the program for international student assessment. I think that's what the S is for, right? Student assessment. So it's these are assessments that are global, that are administered to students of the same age across the world, PISA. And they are launching, they're looking to create an assessment that assesses global competency, global citizenship. So, PISA has identified a definition of four or five characteristics that embody global competence. And I think we can all agree, sure, we want our students to be global citizens, and it's part of our mission, right? And even if we can agree on a definition, the question is, how do we measure that? How can we assess that? If we're trying to build these skills, do you have a little bit of global competence, a lot in between? And as a as an educational institution, what are we doing to help grow that in our students? So we are starting off with a survey, starting off kind of with the bond with our teachers, our administrators, and our ninth grade students. And that information will be shared with PISA. They're gathering all that information, and we'll be kind of running that up the ladder. But it's interesting, and it's exciting. It's very relevant and meaningful to what we're doing here at Odyssey, right? And creating global citizens and who are understanding, especially in you know, all the things that are going on in our modern times. It's very relevant to what we're doing. So more information to come on that. And is it okay if I pass this over to Ms. Hinesley now? We're going to have Lauren Hinesley come up and speak just a couple minutes. I've spoken with some families, both on the board and elsewhere, about our high school program and some of the interests and initiatives that we're taking to really make our high school competitive and build out all the different programs that we need so that our students, when they get to 12th grade or 11th grade, right, that's really when they start the college application process, that they're ready to go. And Lauren's been working very hard on that. So I just would like Lauren to talk for just a couple minutes about what she's been working on lately.
Okay. I'll keep it short. What I've been working on is updating our course catalog to kind of reflect everything that we want to offer our students for the next 4 years while they're with us. So a lot of that includes offering AP courses, as well as connecting with the colleges regionally that we have. I actually went to a meeting on Wednesday morning and was able to be part of a panel with 6 Delaware colleges, and you know, I raised my hand, I had a question, we're building out a high school, and I immediately got contacts with Del Tech, UD, Widener, and Wesley that want to work with us personally so that they can help us build a great high school program for our students. What they really focused on was a connected degree program. So I'm going to be working closely with Jennifer Pierce from Del Tech so that we can start getting those dual enrollment opportunities for our students, so that they can earn a high school credit as well as a college credit starting in their junior and senior years. The gentleman from Widener was already ready to meet with me to start doing some things with our sophomores next year so that we can start building that college community within our school. So I'm really excited about the contacts that I made at this meeting. And again, we are working on finalizing the course catalog, and once all of our I's are dotted and our T's are crossed, that will be on the website for everyone to see, so you can see specifically what courses we will be offering to our students. We've also completed surveys with our 8th and 9th grade students to kind of see where their interests are so that we can plan accordingly for electives and career pathways for them to choose.
Thanks, Lauren.
Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to offer any AP courses for the 9th graders?
Right now, we have it starting in 10th grade.
Plans in place for 9th.
Not for 9th, but we do still have honors courses offered for our 9th graders in ELA, science, math, and social studies. All 4 of those areas, we do have honors classes. And then the AP starts in 10th grade.
Quick question for you, please.
Yes.
Did you also talk about the SEED program?
Yes, actually, I got information on that as well. And then also, I didn't know that Goldie Beacom actually offers a SEED extension program. So I got contact from Goldie Beacom as well, so that I can have all that information available for the students.
Can you just explain what SEED is?
Student equals excellence degree, I believe is what it stands for. So it's a program through Del Tech. Where a student will, if they meet certain criteria, I know it's a 2.5 GPA once they graduate, and they enroll into an Associate of Arts program through Del Tech. They'll do 2 years at Del Tech, and then they'll move to University of Delaware and finish out their 4-year degree there, and it's paid for. That's the important part of it. It is paid for by the SEED program. It's a scholarship program.
So Laura, there's a strategic committee, educational model, curriculum instruction assessor. Can you talk about how you're interfacing with them, if you are at all, or if you plan on interfacing with that committee?
Talk
about
I have not yet, but that is something that I would do so that we can all be on the same page and I can make sure I'm going in the direction that they want our school.
Yeah, well, I'll invite Warren.
I think it's important to get that, those folks connected with what you're looking at doing and how we, how that can, how you can help influence.
Absolutely.
Strategic plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, old business committee reports, a facilities update, which is
usually,
yeah, usually we can, I guess we
can come back and come
and the capital campaign. Just for the PTO report, I attended the meeting. One of the big discussions that happened is recently the survey had gone out. I had shared with the board that they were asking parents where they would like to have the money that they raised this past year used. And the results from a vote were for a new playground. The new playground is going to go on a stretch of little green patch between parking on the other side of the upper school, which will actually end up being a good thing for the third through sixth graders who are going to be up there on that side of the building. They were talking about a swing set and how they would, actually two swing sets, and how they were going to position them. They had lovely charts and pictures, aerial photos of how it could fit in there. But I think that there were a couple of changes that my husband actually heard about at the athletics meeting. So I'm not really sure exactly how it's working out. I see you're nodding your head, so you might even know more recent information from then. No, okay. So anyway, the plan is to put in some swings and a slide. At least, and a climbing thing, right?
A structure.
Yeah, a structure, so that you can climb around the outside of it, you know, those bars, it looks like a honeycomb almost, right? And so, but trying to figure out exactly where to put it, because me, I think you all already know this about me from what I've brought up in the past, I like grass and I like trees and things like that. So I did ask about how the trees could be preserved, which also is a cost-cutting feature if you preserve the trees, because it costs a lot to get rid of them. So I know that that's part of what they're working through. Kim will end up with more information about that too, I think. But that's part of, I think, what they're trying to figure out, how to put the things in there, preserve as many trees as they can.
And too is the peaceful playground.
What'd you say?
It's the peace. I think incorporated in that, mm-hmm. that is the peaceful playground, which is the non-apparatus.
Mm-hmm. Which is really nice. I'm really excited about that part too, because yeah, they just want to be able to paint like hopscotch and paint four corners and things like that, because if you give the kids that and a ball, you know, they're probably going to play too. My son, it was kind of cute, I told him, I said, they're building a playground. He goes, we've got the field, Mom, we can play in the field too. So he was really excited about that anyway. But just, I don't know, it's out of a sixth grader's mouth, right? So anyway. But that was the big thing. And then, of course, the election was the other big thing that we've heard about from Nick already. So congratulations. And did you have anything else you wanted to add? Faculty report.
Well, we are full in on testing season, which goes from May to June. So we are busy making sure that all the students are in the proper testing environment and continuing Odyssey's stellar tradition of test results. Our teacher of the year, Kelly, of course. Recently, I don't know if some of you may have heard, some of you may have not, but our secretary here at the lower school, Kelly Saxton, her family had a house. Oh, Courtney, I'm sorry. Kelly's on the brain here. Courtney. So today was our fundraiser at Brado's Pizza. And recently, Girls on the Run, and I'm one of the coaches, we also raised over $3,300 for Kelly at a dress down day. So that goes to show, I mean, Courtney, thank you. So that goes to show, like, the level of just wonderful, you know, community reach out here. And the teachers were ecstatic about that. We're also busy with our end of the year agendas, making sure that we get everything in, as well as activities. So we're planning different grade level trips and different events, and you know, and finishing down the school year a month away, we'll be okay.
If people didn't know, that was one of the things George was asking me what had happened with Courtney. I think it's okay to share that her house burned down with everything in it, so they didn't even have clothes except what they had on their back. So that's why the fundraiser to help the family, to help a family here.
And if you're interested in giving, you can contact Joelle at the high school. And there's a GoFundMe page, and we're really, really helping out for it.
But they even saved the dog. So that was good. They did save the dog, so that was good. Strategic Plan Committee reports. Do we have any update?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
Transportation presentation.
Very good. Good evening. My name is Evan Winokur. I am the lower school dean, also the transportation supervisor. I'm going to pass out a one-page sheet. My lovely assistant is. Pass it on. I will apologize for not being at the last two meetings. We welcomed our first child to our family, Harrison Thomas Winokur. And my wife wanted to make sure that, thank you. But in the board notes that not only is he sleeping, but we are occasionally sleeping as well. Ms. Lockwood and a number of other people who are on the Transportation Committee can chime in if they have anything they'd like to add. But as this one-page sheet comes around, does everyone on the board have it? You can see that there are some changes that we're making. One, in our student population, we go from 141 K-9, we're going to be at 1661 K-10. Our transportation funding changes a little bit because of the amount of students that we add. We're also proposing that we're going to need 18 buses next year as opposed to 16. And our goal is to limit the amount of students that are on a bus. And that is going to be at 60 students per bus. We'll be sending out a communication a lot like our transportation survey that we did last year. It's going to be done a little bit earlier. My goal is to hopefully get it out before the end of school so we can then add students to a bus, know where they're going to be picked up at, and you will know as well. One of the major improvements that we're looking at doing this year, and I actually have, for those of you who would like to see, there are a number of different apps and GPS service providers that we have looked at. We spoke with Red Clay School District, and they looked at 14 under the state of Delaware that were provided to them, you know, as service vendors. And what those vendors do is they provide a GPS that's on the bus and then a parent app. All right, and I know we talked about this a little bit last year. We've narrowed it down to two that we really like. Red Clay uses TripSpark. And for those who would like to read more about it, I have two 37-page presentations that we sat through. And even though it doesn't sound very enjoyable to sit through, it's really interesting what they have. Not only is it interesting because I'm gonna break down two things that I spoke with Kelly, who's actually, would anyone like the presentation, like to leaf through it? No? If you would, they are up here. And
there's a hand back there. We can also send you the PowerPoint too. They sent us.
A couple things that Kelly specifically told me about. She's been in the business for 18 years, been working with Red Clay for 9. She said that they looked at 4 different vendors. They narrowed it down to TripSpark, which is the one that we are looking at purchasing as well. Not only is it the best, but they have great customer service. Parents will have an app. That means that you will be able to track the bus every 15 seconds, where it's going. You will not be able to see how fast it's going, but if you call me and you say, Mr. Winokur, I saw this bus being down 141, I can create a zone that will tell me how fast that bus is going. I can also look on my application, and I can see how long the bus idled for, I can see how long the door is open for, and I can also see how long it stayed at a specific stop. So we get a lot of calls, you know, the bus didn't come to this stop. Well, I can look that up, and I can then talk to our contractor first student and ask why. The biggest thing that she said that parents like about it is that parents aren't as frustrated anymore. You actually have that power in your hand. You know where the bus is, when it's going to be there, by 15 seconds. So we have not finalized that. There's another app that we're looking at right now. It's called Busware. It revolves around kind of the same components. I really like TripSpark. Not only does Red Clay use it, and they've used it for the past 3 years, but there's a number of other components that they have that go with it as well. So.
One of the things which I think they may add for the fall is an alert system. So if the bus is running late, you can send a text message to that group of people that are at that spot.
Yes.
That helps. Evan,
one of the concerns raised at the meeting last month with respect to the app was the concern that bus drivers will
take whatever the technology is, the GPS tracker, whatever, off the bus or turn it off?
Sure.
Is there something that the Red Clay does to guard against that?
So what Red Clay has done is they use First Student's Zonar equipment. So that might actually save us money. And I spoke with Reggie this week, and he needs to get permission. So Red Clay has permission to use it. They need to give us permission to use it too. So it's basically their GPS. It's in a locked box on the side of the bus. If you look through the presentation, it shows a picture of where it's located. So they can't touch it. That's the difference between TripSpark and Busware. Busware is just an app that's plugged into the cigarette lighter, and or it's really like a cell phone that sits there. And the problem with that not only Kelly said from Red Clay, but Reggie also says that they might walk away. So
we're not investing in any equipment. We're be purchasing the use.
So one of two things. We might purchase our own equipment with the maybe goal of purchasing buses down the long run, and then we would use them on those buses as well. Or we might just use Red Clay's, First Student's GPS equipment, tap into there so we know where our buses are at all times.
Wouldn't First Student have interest in doing this for the rest of their clients? I remember that First Student, at the end of last year, they sent a customer satisfaction survey. That was fun. But that was one of the services that they talked about offering. I mean, I'm just curious if there's any conversation around it. If we're going to do it, what about VoTech? Or, you know, is there any cost sharing with that?
It's our expense. It's not their expense. Mm-hmm. They're basically, we're shouldering the expense of it and putting it on their equipment. So basically, they're just getting the GPS. If we don't use the GPS Red Clay, we'll have to purchase our own unit and put it on the bus.
When you say Red Clay, though, we're using, it's Red Clay buses that contract with First Student?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not
but
all.
Not all.
It's not all.
It's not necessarily all of them, yes.
Yeah.
So we use about, Red Clay has 173 buses that they use in their fleet. 40 of them are contracted with First Student. So, and yes, the buses that we sometimes have issues with, they have issues with as well. So, and that's built into their contract, which I just learned this year that we are going to build into our contract as well. So if a bus is X amount of minutes late, we won't pay for the bus for that day.
Yes. So if we contract to have service with First Student, we have to have their permission on the buses that they use for us. If we
choose to use their Zonar equipment, so they already have a GPS on the bus, right. They've allowed Red Clay.
Yeah. And only a fraction of them actually have the equipment that they let us use.
Well, all the First Student buses have GPS.
They all have.
Because okay. They have their own GPS equipment that Reggie uses to track where his buses are. Yes.
So it's just a service that relying on top of their GPS.
Correct.
They're
so there's already a GPS on the bus, and to add to it, it's actually run by Google Maps, and when you look at it, it's actually a Google Map view.
So First Student isn't charging us anything. It's whatever we're paying the app.
So we're paying the company, yes, to use their software. So it's not only the software that I would use, and it gives us a 30-day, upload of, all the data is always in the system. So, and it's the same thing with the app that we would be buying from the company.
Is it per bus? What is the
pricing? The price point is if we buy all the equipment and put with the idea that we're going to put them on our buses, if the goal is to have buses at Odyssey Charter, it would cost around $20,000. And that would be for TripSpark. So Busware was $100 a month extra. Their cost cost was significantly higher.
Is that $20,000 a year?
No. So it is a fixed cost for buying the equipment, and then it's around $6,000 a year for the app.
Not per.
$6,000 a year for the app and for the functionality for what I am able to say, or for the transportation supervisor to be able to say.
In charge of it, if we purchase the equipment, who's going to regulate the equipment?
So they have a provider that would actually put the equipment on the bus. You pay them per bus to come out, they fly somebody out or they get somebody in the area. And I spoke to Reggie about that already. They actually know the provider that works with Red Clay. He said he's there quite often. So if a bus is not running, we need to move it to, basically the goal is to have not only it on all of our runs, but then if a bus breaks down, you say, well, what do we do next? You know, the goal is to then be able to put that on those buses as well, so we can tap into that bus, where it would say, oh, you're really bus two, actually it's really bus, you know, C71 that's running today, and it would be in parentheses, and it would pop up on your app personally, so I would actually be able to put that functionality for you.
Is it going to be in a locked box like their equipment is in a locked box, or is it going to be something that
no, it's, well, just plug in if we, somebody can walk? If we decide to go with Trip Spark, yes, it would be in a locked box. If we decide to go with Busware, that's the pros and cons. So I know that the Transportation Committee hasn't finalized it yet, but we are leaning towards going with Trip Spark only because Brett Clay uses it, it's less expensive, and nobody can move it. Yes?
So I have two questions.
Sure.
So are you still going to be continuing now with 10th grade, so having kindergarten through 10th on the same bus?
That is the goal, yes.
It's kind of crazy. Kindergarten is with a 10th grader. Because safety-wise, I'm just not, as a parent, not really, you know, a fan of that. Second of all, we've experienced a lot of lateness because their buses are going to a sports event first, and then they're coming and bringing them out. Is that going to change at all?
The goal would be for it to change. I do not know. Right now, Reggie has lost about 4 or 5 drivers. Some have gone to Red Clay, some have gone to Colonial. And it's just the idea of him being able to have those drivers there. Unfortunately, that's some of the, you know, issues that they're going through right now. Thank you very much.
Next on the agenda, Greek program. Do you have anyone who can speak to that?
Demetrius, anybody here by 8:30?
Oh, I forgot.
Okay.
I can talk. I'm not sure with Dimitri Hanna. I can talk in some you know, terms of what's been going on at school. Maria.
Dr. Marina,
sorry, yeah, I don't have my notes right. She is planning to come out at the beginning of July. Last I heard that she will be out here and will be here through the rest of next year. We're already working with her alongside Priscilla Davis, who's our kindergarten teacher, but who's had her hand very closely in the immersion launch. We're already starting to plan the curriculum. We're also working with Dr. Gregory Culverson and Lynn Fulton Archer at the Department of Education. They're the World Languages Needs, and they are connecting us with some successful immersion programs in the state so that the teacher who we identified to be the Greek language partner teacher, so that she can get out there and see some of the best practices in the field. And also, we're also getting her into the kindergarten classrooms because currently she's working with first grade. So we're getting some release time so that she can get a better idea of what happens in our kindergarten classroom. So that's all moving along very nicely. We're also working, Nick, myself, Dimitri, Mr. Rigos, Priscilla, and Kiri Pula on staffing for next year, looking at our needs and how we're growing to 10th grade. So that's coming together as well. Anything else?
I think you hit it. We're really not sure what he was going to address, if anybody has any specific questions.
So. I guess a general question. I guess the upper grades will maintain their Greek curriculum as is. You're going to start with the immersion in kindergarten and then progress that forward year after year. Is that the plan, generally? Right.
Generally, so we'll have 2 sections of immersion in kindergarten, so we'll have 6 sections of FLASS, our current program, 2 sections of immersion, and then they'll, assuming that the launch is successful, they'll matriculate up to first grade, and depending on how the pilot goes this year and the interest, we'll either maintain 2 sections of immersion in kindergarten for 18-19, or possibly expand to do 4 sections of immersion, 4 sections of FLASS, and that would progress up.
New business. All right. Good of the school, public comments. Hearing Seeing none?
Yep, no.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
On a positive note, I know Dr. Dickey sent out a thank you, but our Girl Scout Troop 818 Daisy Troop did plant six trees and on the campus. Three of them are fig trees, which will grow real figs, which might be fun for the teachers to maybe do some sort of picking of figs and making some sort of experiment with it or something. And the other are just, I believe it's a tree. We just planted them and also some flowers in the water, so.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You said that was the Girl Scout Troop and the Daisy Troop?
Yeah, Daisy Troop, 818. Mostly parents, but they were there.
And if I might add, that is, if you don't mind, it's right when you come in on the campus, if you haven't noticed, it's on the right where the elementary is before you hit the go around the turn. And then there's a couple of fig trees on the parking lot on the left. And the figs will grow rapidly and bear fruit quickly, so I'm sure they'll be a big hit. That was a great choice, and thank you again for that. The squirrels like figs, so you have to put a net on the figs if you're going to lose them. So I speak from experience, but at any rate.
We did have a request from George to please go back to the transportation part to just add another comment there.
In the proposed budget, we had $920,000. With what we're trying to undertake with the app and potential bonuses to drivers if they're on time, maybe getting some more aids, the Transportation Committee would like to request another $35,000, potentially $40,000. So about $960,000 to propose budget for next school year.
Which, George, just to clarify, is still less than the projected receipts for transportation?
Yeah, projected receipts of about $1.36 million.
I'll move to. You're looking for board authorization on that?
Yeah.
All right. So I would move to authorize the transportation.
The one comment I had, I guess if you're running the numbers on this, with the increase in the student population and the number of buses that you're adding, you're actually increasing. There's more students per bus on average now. So how are we managing that? I know the buses are kind of tight now already as it is, and so you're only proposing. Right now, if you look at the 1,440 students, that's average. It's 90 students per bus. You know, transporting 90. But with the influx of the new students, adding two buses, they're at like 92 or 93 students on average per bus. So that means that the busing will be tighter, probably. Maybe not a lot, but I'm just saying it's a small number. But I'm just saying it was tight already this year. I'm just wondering, do we have enough capacity?
The main place that we're adding those students at is in the lower school and in our K to four population. The ridership is only about 48 to 49%, so it's less than the upper school. So a lot of those students were retaining. So that is the reason why we added two buses. And the goal is to then, one, do the transportation survey, and we may have to revisit it. Right, there's money potentially in that budget to go up if we need to. But the goal is to tell people that they need to sign up for a bus, and then look at where our need is. And if there is a need for more buses, then we could potentially have to add that. So,
may I make a suggestion as well?
Sure.
As a parent, and knowing that sometimes you can be overwhelmed by a lot of emails and issues that you get, and you haven't always had great responses on these surveys that you've sent out,
mm-hmm.
might you think about, and sorry, teachers, might you think about having at least paper surveys that, I'm sorry, somebody will have to input them then, but available at all these end of the year events where parents are, you can say, hey, by the way, before you leave, fill this out. Are you going to want transportation and what's your address before you leave? Because as a parent, I would really appreciate that. Put it in the box. Yay, I'm done. I don't have to go to a link. I don't have to have the time to fill it out. I don't have to feel like, oh my gosh, I don't know how much time this is going to take. It's paper, and if it's brief.
Or if we did a paper copy and then had.
Yeah. I know there'll be some input that needs to be done over the summer so you can actually see what it is. Yeah. But, and technology, still having a technology one available if you want. But you might get better response because you're going to have a lot of parents coming in the next few weeks for parties and things like that.
Or at the kindergarten welcome ceremony.
I was thinking the kindergarten welcome ceremony. I'm thinking almost every class at the end of the year, kind of something where you get at least half the parents there.
Well, the kids bring papers home all the time that need parent signatures.
Right, that's what I'm saying, do it at the events.
If there's their last class of the day or some, whether it's their homeroom teacher, I'd say homeroom, but I know that the buses are always late and half the kids miss homeroom, so they probably wouldn't even get the surveys, right? So I don't know how you have it put in their folder, their parents can look at it, I got one kid, three, and at least with the student population that you have now, you can get percentage.
I'm saying be more proactive than in the folder. At those events, have
Which
it
events?
There, hand it to the parents. It's their exit ticket. They can't leave unless they do it.
You only get a fraction.
You know?
You only get a fraction of the parents that go to those.
At least half.
If you have all the kids bring them home in one of the classes.
Give them everywhere.
Nick.
I just wanted to add, to be precise about a couple of things. We don't know where the state budget cuts are going to land, and just to remind the members of the board that this projected receipts is based on what we got last year per student. So we could theoretically be facing a 15. Charters will pay differently than the districts, obviously, because we don't have a referendum, match tax, and all of that. But we could easily see a 15 to 20% decrease in this transportation revenue. But that is troublesome just alone. But what I want to point out is that guessing how many buses we need is really an imprecise science. We could easily bump up to 22, let's just pick a number, if confidence is restored, if some of these incentives that we offer to drivers are effective and people start saying, hey, the buses are running on time, the wheels are turning, and things are improving, which we don't know, but they could, our ridership could go up significantly, where we would be far above the 60 per bus threshold, and therefore have to order new buses. And I really bring this up as a caution, because one year, Mr. Rigos and I found ourselves needing a new bus, and to add one bus is in the 40-ish thousand per year, and it may be more. So how much is it now, George?
49,000 and some change, I believe, for this.
So if we say 50 for the sake of argument, we could very easily need 2 to 4 just with an increase in parent confidence in the service. So we have to be prepared. There's a lot of variation there. 20% cut off the top, and then anywhere from a 2 to 4% number of buses additional is another 200. So if you drop it to 200 and then you increase the cost 200, we're pretty much at a break even.
When will we know
the last day of the legislature, June 30th.
Not really until the July meeting.
Red Clay's ridership is 88% on average. Which would significantly cut down on traffic throughout the campus.
What's our ridership?
About 50% K to 4, 5 to 10, or 5 to 9 potentially right now is about a little bit over 60, like 62.
So we're under, probably because of the challenges with the buses.
Sure.
Well, we're also pulling from 5 different districts.
Far right. Away is a challenge.
So. Yeah, so they may not want to put their kids on the bus.
Right.
And it's always good to have at least the most accurate number for how many parents would consider using the bus.
Yeah.
I guess the only way to get them is actually physically give each student something to bring home that they can return somehow, right?
And I'd still like to suggest at those end of the year parties, I mean, other parents in here, I mean, do you think that would make your lives easier a little bit? But yes.
I don't think I had suggested before, why can't, when you bring out the survey, to the parents and make it a lot well known. Some people do, it does get buried in email, so I agree. Paper it, blast it on the website, do it 10 bazillion ways, but then at some point you gotta tell the parents, if we don't have your information by July 1st, go find your own transportation, because you guys have an enormous duty. And granted, there's gonna be people who might transfer in, transfer out, whatever, but it's hubs, it's not, it goes to every neighborhood, and that's a burden on you. It's a big deal, it's a big issue, and we don't even use the bus.
But
I just feel for you guys, because this is like a constant thing, the parents, make it
break your neck telling the parents, but then July 1st or whatever deadline.
But legally, can we tell students they can't ride the bus if they decide they want to? I think we're legally obligated, whether they answer a survey or not,
we're
right?
We're legally obligated. I mean, it sounds terrible. I mean, put the fear of God in it is what we're saying.
Well, then, because they come again and say, oh, I didn't get that email. I didn't get that. When you guys do certain things, you guys are really great at communication. Other things, you do need improvement. But certain things, you know, you guys really do. So I think you do need to put out more, because I think this survey comes out. Yeah, I was on vacation. Yeah, I missed it. And then August 31st, hey, I need to ride the bus.
We have to give them a seat.
Going online.
But if, let's say, a parent from August 3rd decide, oh, I need a bus, then they're going to go and bus on the bus that has space. You're not going to get the one that you want, because then you're going to scout parents that actually were more proactive in answering by that line.
I think that distributing paper surveys is going to be a huge burden on the school, and you're going to have transcription errors, and I think that's going to cause more issues. You can send home a flyer with the link, you can blast it out a million different ways. And if you want, if there are computer facilities available, tell the people when they're here. Come into the computer room and fill it out here. And if you have questions for us, we're here now and we'll answer it. But that would eliminate all the paper mess, and somebody's survey gets lost, or there's
a laptop or two in a classroom.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, give them a chance to do it while they're here, and they might do it.
We have Sevier's father back there.
Are there any plans to change the stops?
Yes.
The buses from Wilmington Charter come in to our development. I have 10, 15 kids just coming to this school alone from that development. And we have to ride around much further down to get to the bus. I think we made that request before to the partnership. So the majority of the kids are from one or two neighborhoods there.
We look at the stops every year. And in fact, when Evan was talking about the different buses before, or someone was saying about K through 10 on the same bus, the other way we can do it is have fewer stops in two buses, upper and a lower, but then you may have to drive farther. You know, that's another way to look at it, and that may affect how many buses we need. I don't know. But it comes down to the data that we get. You know, that's really what helps us to decide. And as we've grown, like, we're getting more families and students from the Middletown, Bear, that area. So we, you know, we're adjusting every year, but it's a work in progress.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason why people say, if I'm going to ride there and wait for the bus, I might as well drive half an hour to drop.
Yeah.
So the ridership goes down too.
Yeah.
All right, so is the Transportation Committee still requesting budget increase on the budget now, or could this wait until we have better clarity on the statewide budget issues?
Are you requesting
you guys are going for the budget? I think right now that we were looking for that additional money for the budget, so would Karen give you a preliminary budget next month if we include that in there?
Can we look at it both ways? Can we just have it as a...
Sure, we could. I think the biggest, you know, the biggest issue is going to be the cut of the budget. You know, we may be asking for more after we do the preliminary budget.
Right.
So maybe we should just table it for now, and then see how Karen comes in with the budget, and then move on from there.
We're going to need more buses regardless, and transportation is the biggest headache I'm sure you guys have all year long. And so if you have to eat some money somewhere, you better eat it in transportation,
yeah.
Right? You know.
Because I have a feeling we're going to be asking for more at some point.
I can't imagine.
I don't know how
else to get it.
I mean, if we could be asking for $40,000 now and put it in the budget, we might ask for additional money later.
Okay. Are we moving? Yeah. Okay. Do you want to restate that?
Well, no, we're not moving, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I thought you meant, are we moving on? So we're finished with transportation for now, right?
A couple of the things that we had missed, we are now with Dimitri. Dimitri, did you have anything that you would like to add about the facilities update or the capital campaign?
Yes, actually, I feel very confident, not 100%, but almost 95%, that in addition to executing on the retrofit of Building 21, we'll most likely begin a structural design of the large gymnasium so we can place an order for the steel so that in a few months it can be delivered to begin installation, which means that sometime in 2018 we may have the large gym at some level of functionality. And that will be a very big plus to our athletic programs, and we'll also have a very large gathering place to do major events in there. We do not have all the money to cover both the retrofit of Building 21 and the large gymnasium. We're looking at about $2.5 million. But we have enough to begin with a certain level of confidence, as I said, the implementation of the large gym. Which means that if we make that move and we commit with a down payment to order the structural materials for the building, we will need to have a very aggressive capital campaign, and we will need everybody's help and participation. So this is what I have to report. I know for many years now we've been asking about the large gym and how that's going to impact our athletic programs. So the board made certain moves in the past couple of months, as I said, to almost ensure that this is going to become reality, hopefully by the end of next year or even earlier.
All right. And Denise gave us some information about the Greek program. Do you have anything that you particularly wanted to say? They talked about how Dr. Marina is planning to come out in the beginning of July to work with OCS through the next year. The curriculum is being planned with successful immersion plans in mind, so looking at successful immersion programs already. Staffing is being addressed for next year, and it will begin with two sections of immersion in kindergarten.
Yeah, that's pretty complete.
Okay.
One more thing. Mm-hmm. Along the way, we have been able to identify additional resources that can help us with the immersion program, and I've shared that with administration, which is great news because we need a very large team to be able to do all this implementation and make sure that we do it properly.
All right. When we asked for new business, there wasn't any. Did you have any you wanted to add? Didn't you?
No.
Okay. We do have, we had asked already go to the school and public comments. So we do have on the agenda a closed session for personnel matters.
I'd like someone to make a motion to go into a quick closed session.
Do we have a motion?
I'll move to go into closed session.
I'll second.
All right.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.